The Matthew Wright Show, right here, right now, on Talk Radio.
Yeah, we've got another take on how new technology is changing our lives in just a moment. I've just seen Alan Williamson walking by. She's going to be popping in and joining us for the rest of the show after the news at 2. So have you heard of The Circle yet? Possibly not. It's a new Channel 4 game show. It starts tomorrow evening and it's already been branded dangerously irresponsible for using social media likes as part of its mechanic. Here's Kevin with more.
Yeah, even before it starts tomorrow night, Channel 4's new game show, The Circle, is in a world of trouble after being roundly criticised.
Oh, very good, very good, yeah.
Roundly criticised by mental
health. It's got a ring to it, that one.
Yeah, I've still got it, you know. By mental health campaigners who have branded it a new low for reality television. If they're right, in a genre notorious for plumbing the depths, that's quite an achievement. Hosted by Maya James, who I believe is dating Stormzy, and Alice Levine.
Ooh, listen to you, down with the kids,
Kevin.
Did you get that on Twitter,
stuff.
Did you?
All the popular stuff. The show features contestants living in separate apartments, only able to communicate with each other via a social media device called The Circle. Then they rate each other based on what they put into The Circle in a bid to avoid getting the least likes, which means you're blocked and you lose. The wannabe with the most likes wins £50,000. Not harmless fun, insist mental health campaigners, who are appalled by the notion of reward. Rewarding people for their fake online personas. This, they say, glorifies being something you are not just to gain likes, and it makes entertainment out of a very real and serious issue. The Circle sets what they call a worrying precedent, but Channel 4 has defended its show, maintaining that The Circle will make contestants and viewers think about how social media works and be more aware of its negative and positive aspects. So who's right?
Well, joining us to discuss is Dr. Mark Silvert, a medical director and consultant psychiatrist. I'd be alarmed and worried if I was you, Kevin. Yeah, hey, I've seen one for over the cookies.
Okay, I'm just going to take a bathroom break. I'll be back in 20 minutes.
Now, he's written an excellent piece on the dangers of social media for the Huffington Post. So, Dr. Silver, or I may call you Mark, what's your problem with this show, The Circle?
Well, Matthew, as I've written in the piece, it's a programme that is basically showing young people that what we should be aspiring to is social media likes, that we should be on our phones trying to get more attention. And I never imagined there'd be a time in my medical training that as a consultant psychiatrist, I'm sitting down with people in my clinic and screening them to see how much time they're using on social media. Facebook, Instagram, is it important to you? And the resolving answers that people give when I ask the question, does it make you happy, is it makes me profoundly depressed and anxious.
I find it endlessly curious that as a seasoned, some might say hard-bitten, ex-Fleet Street journalist, 18 years on the telly, that, I'll hold my hand up, I find social media, Twitter is the only form I use, I find it challenging, to put it mildly. I'll be extremely anxious about having a child on it. However, the reality is young people are on it. This is their life. Our politicians, from the Prime Minister down, are trying to get attention, traction on social media, to get likes. Popularity on things like YouTube is seen as a valid career move by this younger generation. What's wrong with engaging with those trends in a game show format?
Well, I think we have to understand that it is incredibly popular, but to put it in a game show format and to reward people for having the most likes just feeds into the theory that the person with the most likes is the happiest person, that your life will be going in a positive direction. We know that's not the case. And obviously,
isn't that also the same with money, that we used to think that people with lots of money are happier and they have fulfilling lives, and nobody objected to game shows giving money away as a prize?
That's true, but if you're on my side of the table, when I'm working with high net worth people, with celebrities, of course, due to confidentiality, we can't discuss who they are, but they come in and they have hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram, etc., and they can be some of the most depressed and anxious people that I see in my clinic. So I don't think that this is sending out a positive message to young people who will think, I wish to be a YouTube influencer, this is the way forward. You know, what happened to going into university and also talking to our friends? The problem with social media is the more we're on it, the less any of us pick up the phone to our friends. We just say, oh, well, I saw them on Facebook half an hour ago. I sent them a little message on Twitter. But if you are going through something, what happened to picking up the phone and having a constructive conversation with a friend, which will make you feel better?
I, 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 I'm with you every inch of the way, except I feel that I am an anachronism, that I'm out of step with modern thinking. It's too late. I don't do Facebook. I think it's 80-something% of the population is on Facebook. I think it's only about a third of the population is on Twitter or something like that. Are we not the Luddites here? That actually, I agree, there may be loads of problems connected to social media, but rather than trying to hold back the tide, maybe our jobs, both of our jobs, should be trying to help people find their way through the problems.
You're absolutely not a Luddite. And the evidence is that young people are now...
Oh, I think you're finally
I have tendencies.
I'll leave that for you.
You should see the age of his motorbikes.
The evidence is, which you might be surprised to hear, and it might make you feel better, that young people are actually now deciding to come off Facebook. And you've probably read that the Facebook is declining in popularity and they're extremely alarmed about that. It's one of the reasons they bought Instagram, so they now own Instagram. Instagram was going up in popularity. But when I do speak to young people and I ask them about these methods of communicating with people, they are understanding it's not helpful. It makes me feel worse to look at other people. I have people with eating disorders looking up to Kardashians who are promoting weight loss treatments. You need to look like me and you'll be happy. And then you'll have 2 million followers. You don't need to get a job. You can monetize your Facebook and Instagram accounts. And that's a path to a happy future. What they don't realize is that's the 0.01% of influencers that ever get to that level. And they'll be profoundly disappointed. And then you get catch 22. They'll be even more upset that their social media is not a successful platform and make them feel worse. And it can lead to suicidal thoughts.
Help us out. I understand fully you can't reveal the identities of people that are very successful in this media, the celebrities, but what are their problems? You know, you think if they're that famous and they have that many followers, that their bank accounts must be very rosy. The two things broadly do seem to be linked. Is it what Dave Stewart called years ago, the Eurythmic style? I think he called it paradise syndrome, that you have everything in and it's not enough.
There's some truth to that, but, you know, it's the age-old adage that money doesn't make people happy. They still have physical health complaints. They have family problems. They might be struggling with an addiction like alcoholism or drugs. Because you have money doesn't mean you'll be any more successful in your relationships. And that can be a significant problem. So when they're looking at their friends, they're all getting engaged, for example, in their late 20s, early 30s, and they're just broken up with a partner. And, you know, one thing I always say to my patients, which they always find fascinating, said, look, when I grew up, if I split up with the girlfriend, I didn't have to see her photos on social media. It's not normal. So,
but it is normal. But it's normal now, isn't it? It's the new normal.
But it shouldn't be.
But we'll never be able to turn back the clock, will we?
I think we have to try, and I think we have to educate people. It's certainly, as I said, nothing that I used to do to screen social media use in the psychiatric clinic. But we do now, and we know we try and encourage people. And even in the Apple iPhone release, it now tells you and warns you that you've been using too much social media time.
But I've just been talking to Catherine O'Brien from the British Pregnancy Advisory Service, and, you know, we've been telling kids for the last 10-15 years that sexting is bad, and now she's coming back with data that suggests that for 16 to 18 year olds, sexting has a very useful role to play, a healthy role to play.
Well, firstly, I'm not sure that I agree with that.
No, please tell me more, because I'm not sure I agreed with it either. So,
and I listened to what you were saying, but I think there, again, you know, it's different for different people. Everyone that we work with has different maturity levels and are able to cope with things differently. There are some very vulnerable young people who will be exploited and feel the pressure to sext at a premature age. And the increasing sexualization of young people, I think, is very unhealthy. Well, you know, when we grew up, we had to do anything we could to get our hands on something of a sexual nature. It was very exciting. Now it's everywhere. And it almost diminishes, you know, something that can be quite special and enjoyable.
Can I ask you, Mark, is it the fakery involved in the using social media that worries you? Because Love Island has also been roundly criticised for kind of creating a fraudulent glamour. And now we're creating a sort of false world where approval only comes from likes on the social media. Is that what worries you, the fraudulent nature of social media?
That absolutely worries me. And a lot of the people I work with have their PAs do their social media anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not really their account. That someone else is running it.
Keely Hawes for The Bodyguard. Every week, so thrilled about tonight's episode of The Bodyguard, which starts at 9 p.m. on BBC One. Don't miss it. Love, Keely. Brackets. Apostrophe S. P.A. You know, you're right.
So you seem to think that we can turn back the tide. And that's the bit I'm still troubled with, because it strikes me that we went from... It's happened so quickly, the digital revolution, that I in all seriousness, and I'm not joking, I'm still coming to terms with the telephone answering machine. I grew up without one. I found the notion you made an arrangement, somebody had to go and see them because there was no way you could let them know that you weren't going. It was pre-mobile phones. We've had a revolution, and I don't think we can go back.
Look, we do live on our phones. No one can dispute that. We all reach over the first thing in the morning. We check our emails. Yep. We check our Facebook.
And I hate myself for doing it.
So do I, but it's a necessary evil because we're living in a 24-hour world. But I think, like in France, like in other European countries, there are now laws to say, you know, you cannot be emailed by your boss at work. And there are strategies we can employ to turn back the tide. And it is encouraging that young people are deactivating some of their social media accounts. But I do agree, like, we have to be realistic. We're talking about billions of people signing up to Facebook and the like. And, you know, it's going to be very hard to win the war against the effects. So we have to consider how we can help people when they are getting these messages that if you have more likes on social media, you're a more worthy person. It validates you as a person. That's simply not true. That's what I spend a lot of my time in clinic talking to people about. And this program, I think, is very unhelpful.
To be fair to Channel 4, should we not wait to see the program before we cast stones?
Okay, well, we can wait and see.
Dr. Mark Silver, it's lovely talking to you. If there was a... just going back on the sexting issue, because I'm not sure we've given parents necessarily the best advice. If you're a parent of a 15-year-old, what do you tell them about sexting? Do you say it's a risky structure, you shouldn't do it, you should do it carefully?
I think have that open communication with your child and discuss, you know, the pros and cons, much like the way parents might have spoken in the past about having sex in general, because there are, you know, dangers. It can be used responsibly. And you need to have that conversation with your child. Don't fear to have it, I would say. Go on. It's a bit awkward, but have the conversation because it's happening every day.
I reckon you'll have earned loads of likes for that last statement. Dr. Mark Silver, Medical Director and Consultant Psychiatrist at the Blue Tree Clinic just off Harley Street. Lovely talking
Thank
to you.
You.
We'll be talking to Anna Williamson and discussing the state of our comprehensive education after these. Talk Radio. Listen.